Last Sunday, we looked at one word, a beautiful word that we consider. Anybody remember what it was? The word light. Somebody was paying attention. And this morning, we're going to look at another word that comes from this great passage in Isaiah chapter 9. So let's read it. We're looking at a couple of different translations or Bible versions. And from the World English Bible, we read what's up here. So if everybody can see that, I know the print may be small for some, but let's try to read it together. But there shall be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made its glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Galilee of the nations, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of the shadow of death, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied, you have increased their joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of the burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have spoken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armored man in the noisy battle, and the garments rolled in blood, will be for burning fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, on the throne of David and on his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from that time on, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of armies will perform this. Thank you, and you may be seated. I thought it would be a good little flavor to add a couple of different translations and reading some of these familiar texts and passages of Scripture of the Christmas story. And this one is for the World English Version, which is not a very common translation or version that many of us use, but it certainly gives it a little different perspective. And this morning we're looking at another word in this Christmas in a Word series. And before I give you that word, if you look on down through here, you see some key verses, key words that kind of stand out. One of them kind of goes with the theme of today being the third Sunday of Advent, and that is the word joy. There was great joy when the message of this new child was born through all the earth. Good tidings of great joy was those words that were mentioned. But here's the third word, or the second word that's mentioned in this Christmas in a Word series, and it is the word increase. You don't see that until the very end, almost the very end of this passage that was just read. But it's an interesting word. As I prepared these messages, I looked for key phrases and key words that would stand out. This word increase kind of intrigued me a bit, and it caught my attention. And, you know, I began to think that, you know, we live in a world that is defined by all kinds of diminishing returns. Everybody wants, for some reason, to feel like, you know, there's worth and there is potential and there's numbers and there's volume and everything else. But we live in a world that's defined by diminishing returns, and for some it feels like everything maybe shrinking even. We don't have as much time or money or freedom or happiness or potential or chances in life that we once had. And it seems as though many people have this idea that we are losing ground, if you will. Many people feel that like their world is getting smaller, and that time is just running out, and their problems are crowding in, and people are being overwhelmed by what they watch on television, in the news, and in the newspapers, and everything else, and that things will never be like they used to be. They'll never return to what they used to be. You know, this past week, or in the last couple of weeks, I had a teenager came to me one day, and, you know, I kind of laughed out loud in what she said, and she said, you know, this is something that you and I might say, but I actually heard a teenager, yes, a teenager say, I miss the good old days. Can you imagine? A teenager saying, I miss the good old days. Can you imagine that? Well, when I was growing up in Nova Scotia in Canada, I heard, you know, the idea expressed that Canada's best days were behind them. And maybe you heard that being mentioned here in the U.S. as well when you were growing up. That opportunities don't exist like they once did. That people are just not like they used to be. They don't seem to be as caring as they used to be. That life is just too fast. That life is just, you know, a roller coaster for many. People don't care about church. That people don't care about God. People don't care about spiritual things like they once did. And that things will never be the same. They'll never be like they once were. Well, I'm here to say today that one of the gifts of Christmas is that Jesus came into the world, this world, the world that you and I live, with a promise to give us an abundance of everything. And it is a very positive message. It is the most positive message given to all in all time. That he gave us an abundance of everything that really matters. You see, believers do not live in a world of shrinking resources, not the resources that matter the most. We don't live in that, but we live in a world of expanding resources. I really believe that, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world to create a kingdom of increase for all who choose to follow him. He came to give us a kingdom of increase. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, I want us to consider three areas of increase that we can count on, we can take to the bank as followers of Christ. And I believe it helps to reinvigorate this wonderful, powerful Christmas message that we all know so well. We have some areas of increase that we can rejoice in today, and we can wallow in, and we can be comforted in, we can be strengthened in, we can be blessed in. The first area of increase as a follower of Christ that I know I have, and as I've studied the Word of God, is that I have an ever-increasing opportunity. I have ever-increasing opportunity. We live in a world, I believe, that God has given us opportunity. I remember working at Cabela's. My boss used to come up to me every so often, and he would say, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to serve a customer. Look for opportunities to be productive. Look for opportunities to do your job better, and do it. I believe that as Christians especially, we have opportunities. It's because we're citizens of an ever-increasing kingdom, God's kingdom. And in verse 3 it says here that you have multiplied the nation. That to me says that there's opportunity for increase. He's speaking in this context of the nation of Israel. And Isaiah is speaking of those leaders through their disobedience had plunged them into darkness and made them targets for their surrounding enemies. And the fact that it looked pretty, pretty grim at one point. And that the judgment of God was to be upon the nation of Israel because of their disobedience. But here he's saying that because of this one who was going to be the great and mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, that there's opportunity here for you to increase. And so as a people, sometimes we do experience setbacks. We experience setbacks in all kinds of different ways. We experience setbacks financially. We experience setbacks health-wise. And sometimes we suffer a defeat here and there. But that's not how the story ends. The good news of Christmas is that victory is ours. The good news of Christmas is that victory is around the corner. And God's increase is on its way as we day by day trust Him and not ourselves. As we trust Him and not this world system. As we trust Him and not the things that we used to trust. Remember the prayer of Jabez. A few years ago, there was books written, and it was a big thing. Everybody was talking about the prayer of Jabez. And that simple little prayer from 1 Chronicles that has empowered so many to be faithful, to pray it every day, and to ask God for the increase. And the prayer says something like this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border." He's talking about enlarging your territory. God wants to do that. He wants to enlarge your territory. It's about expanding your outreach and tapping into new possibilities and giving you new opportunities. Something I've learned in following Jesus in, well, almost 40 years now that I've been a follower of Christ and been a believer in Him, is that even though there may be times when money is tight, and times when resources are tight, and we're squeezed for time, that I will never lack the opportunity to find something positive to do in God's kingdom. There's always that dynamic about it, that we will never lack the opportunity to be a blessing to others. You know, as Christians during this season of the year, we have opportunity that no one else really has. And that is to shed light. That is to bring hope into a dark world. We have opportunity that no one else has in terms of sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will never lack the opportunity to minister to those in need. One of my blessings that we've done this for the last several years is on Thanksgiving Day, I volunteered to go down and help out on Preble Street in Portland and to help out with the soup kitchen there on Thanksgiving Day to serve meals. And maybe you saw me on TV. I don't know. I don't think I got in the view of a camera. But I was there on Thanksgiving Day, and every year we make that our habit to do that. And what a blessing it was just to be able to bring something good, to do something good, to help people, to see people's faces light up in radiance, being thankful for their blessings. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful. We never lack for opportunities to do good in God's kingdom. There are opportunities all around you today. All you need to do is look, and you may not have to look very far. The problem is, then, that the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, the scripture says, but the workers are few. We don't lack for opportunity. We lack for vision. We lack for dedication. Sometimes it's a lot easier just to remain on your lazy boy chair with your remote control in your hand than it is to get up and do something, right? We've all been there. And you all know what I'm talking about. But here's what I'm saying to each and every one of us, including myself this morning, that regardless of what may appear to be going on in the borders of your own life, even after the leaders of Israel, even as we read about them right here. The fact is, sometimes we've created problems for ourselves because of our own stubbornness and because of our own disobedience. And I want you to know that God is willing. In fact, He is eager. He desires right now that you and I would multiply our territory and that we would expand our borders so that our lives would be filled with opportunities that will make a difference, a big difference in His kingdom. And that includes right here in this community. Regardless of whatever resources you may think you lack, you will never lack the opportunity to do good in God's kingdom. You'll never lack that opportunity because that opportunity is always there. That opportunity is always present. And all we need to do is take action and be action-oriented. Jesus came to fill your life with purpose. He came to fill your life with direction and my life with direction, to give us meaning, to give us hope. Because of Christ, you and I, every one of us here today, can enjoy ever-increasing opportunities to do good in the world that we live in. You know, I was down here at the town landing, and they have a tree down there with little cards or little things on them where this community can be helping two or three families in the community. You take one of those off the tree, and you go out and maybe buy a present. And I was in there the other day, and I said, boy, there's not a whole lot of those taken off of there yet. So I grabbed a couple, and I got some real good deals up in Presque Isle the other day, and so I was able to take care of a couple of them. And I said, you know, that's just one small thing, but it's an opportunity to do good. It's an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. That's what Christmas is about. That's why God has given us the message to share in a world that's so dark. So ever-increasing opportunity. I know there's all kinds of other examples. There are other opportunities. But at the same time, ever-increasing opportunity leads to the next area of increase that I want you to see. And that's the second thing we see here, and that is ever-increasing joy. Not just ever-increasing opportunity, but joy. You know, if I do something and I don't have much joy in doing it, it's not very joyful, is it? It's not very fulfilling. And here in Isaiah, in the third verse of chapter 9, it says, "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy." Increased its joy. "They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest." So Jesus came to give us an abundance of what really matters, didn't he? He came to give us hope, and he came to give us purpose. And there's nothing like the abundance of joy. There really isn't. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have abundant joy, that your joy may be full," he says. Have you noticed that no one ever says something like this, "I wish I weren't so joyful all the time"? No one ever says, you know, "I wish I weren't so happy all the time." Not too many people say, "Oh, I just hope I stay in this state of depression for a long time to come." I don't hear too many people saying that. You know, we don't hear that. People have said, you know, "This money has become a burden. I wish I didn't have this money." I don't hear too many people say that. I don't hear too many people say, you know, "This relationship has become an albatross," but you never hear them say, "This joy is getting me down. It's getting me down. This happiness is holding me back." You'll never hear that. Never hear that. Not only does God want to give you the opportunity to do ever-increasing good in His kingdom, but He wants to fill your heart with joy in the process. I would not be doing ministry. I would not be serving as a pastor if I didn't have any joy in my heart. I would not want to do anything without any joy, because joy gives me the pick up and go that I need. It gives me motivation. It gives me purpose. It gives me a sense of purpose in a way that the world cannot define. And so, you know, over the years, I've known more people than I can count. And to be honest, I've been that guy a time or two whose lives became all about the pursuit of the prize, all about ambition, all about success. And ultimately what happens is that instead of those things making that person happy, they find themselves more and more miserable. I've known people that have had all kinds of good things going for them, but they haven't had much joy in their heart. And as a result, they're miserable people. And that's why Jesus said, "For what profit does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" And so we need to keep perspective on things. God has said that from the very beginning. In effect, if you find your life in me, I'll give you something that no one else or nothing else in all the world can give you. And that is abiding joy. He says, "I'll give you that." That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. It's yours if you reach out. And so what a great Christmas gift to give the gift of joy. To experience the gift of joy. To once again ask God, "Lord, take all that grumpiness out of my heart and replace it with joy." To ask God to take away anything that's self-serving. To take away anything that is not productive. And give me joy. Unspeakable joy. Indescribable joy. That only God can give. And so God has said from the very beginning, in fact, that the joy is inexpressible, and it is indeed full of glory. And he said in this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. And he also said, these things I have spoken to you, that this joy may be yours, and that your joy may be full. That's God's plan for you today. Did you know that? That your joy may be full. What a great opportunity we have during the Christmas season that we can experience that joy. And that joy can be full to overflowing in our lives as we live out our faith for Jesus Christ. And here's the third thing that we see in this passage in Isaiah chapter 9. And that is that we can also experience ever-increasing impact. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we can have an impact on other people's lives. We can have an impact as we share the good news. And this is what Isaiah prophesied. He said, "For to us a child is born." He says, "To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And verse number 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Now, Jesus came into the world to preach not about politics, not to preach about military strategy. He came to preach about the reality of the kingdom of God. The reality of the kingdom of God living in your heart, being lived in you and through you every single day. And he said, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world, but it's here right now, and you can experience it. You can taste it. You can grasp it, because that kingdom is within you." You see, Jesus didn't come to establish any government. Jesus was not a Republican. Jesus was not a Democrat. He was not an independent. He did not belong to any particular party or hold any allegiance. He came to establish his kingdom reign in the hearts of sinners like you and me, in our lives, in the lives of our community, and all over the world. That's what he came to do. And so this is his kingdom. And it knows no boundaries geographically because it exists all over the world. His kingdom is a worldwide movement. It's a movement. And it began with 12 disciples. It's a movement that has spread throughout all the earth, to every nationality, to every skin color, to every linguistic group of people. We are a global community. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is amazing. To belong to the family of God means that you have something in common with people that you've never met before, and you'll never meet this side of heaven. You'll never meet them. And the fact is, God has created us so that we can make a difference. In some places, the church's growth is phenomenal throughout Africa and Asia. There are places on this globe right now where the Church of Jesus Christ is growing beyond belief. But a lot of it is happening in the midst of persecution as well. A lot of it is happening where people are really being persecuted for their faith. And, you know, I kind of think of it, and the fact is we really don't know what persecution is in comparison to many other parts of the world. But God's people are at work in God's kingdom, and good things are happening all over the planet because, as it says in this verse, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Those are powerful words, words that we need to take to heart even during this Christmas season. Have you ever thought of what the world might be like without God's people actively engaged in doing good? Can you imagine what it would be like here in the United States of America without believers in Jesus Christ doing good and loving people, loving the down and outers, loving the downhearted, loving and doing the work of the kingdom? You see, the church has plenty of critics, and I get it all the time, you know, that Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I just tell them, well, one more hypocrite probably won't hurt. And so, you know, that's what we hear all the time. But whenever there is a disaster on a global scale, Christians are there helping out. Ministries are, you know, Christian ministries are sometimes the first to be in line to make it a better world, even after a disaster, whatever it might be. And I know there are things in the church that need to change, that goes without saying, but can you imagine what the world might look like without God's people doing good? And that's why God has placed us here on this earth, to do good and to live by grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit every single day. This is the kingdom that the Messiah came to establish. This is something that's near to the heart of God, that's dear to the heart of God. It's not found in bricks and mortar and buildings or anything else. It's found with the kingdom of God living within the hearts and souls of people. So Christmas, in a word, is that Jesus came to give us an abundance, an ever-increasing supply of everything that really matters. You know, I trust that during this Christmas season that you will experience more than any other time just how potent and how powerful that is and how significant Jesus is, because you can count an ever-increasing opportunity to do good. And let me tell you, nothing feels better than being used by God, than being a blessing to another person, than being light and hope, and being the arms and the feet of Jesus in a world that is so needy, in a world that is so downtrodden. So we can count on every ever-increasing joy, because we know that every day God is moving us in the direction of this new harvest. And this is why we can count on having an ever-increasing impact in this ever-increasing kingdom, that we are part of a global movement making peace happen wherever we go and whenever we speak a good word. So if you've ever felt like your resources are limited and your world is getting smaller by the minute, I want you to know that Jesus came to give you more than enough of everything that matters. He came to give you more than enough of everything that matters. That's so important. Let him fill your life today with purpose, with direction, with joy. And let his words fill your heart, fill your life, give you purpose, direction, so that you can make this a better world. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this ever-increasing joy that we can have through you. For the direction and purpose, Lord, that you're able to supply for us. And I pray, Father, that each of us would leave this place today knowing that Christmas, in a word, means that we can make a difference in the lives of other people around us. Fill our hearts, Lord, to overflowing with your love, with your peace, with your joy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close this morning, singing our final song here this morning.